You are listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. Join him as he and his guests discover how businesses thrive in California.
Welcome to The Pilgrim on the 405 on this little rainy morning here in Southern California. We're going to do some interesting things today. We're going to be talking about a solution that maybe you haven't thought about to the impact of low employment in Southern California. We have with us today the leadership team from the Tropicana and Camelot. Especially, we have Greg Eisenman, who's the general manager for these two hotels right in the heart of Anaheim, right across the street from Disney, from all of the activities that are there for recreation. And so welcome to the Pilgrim on the 405, Greg.
Thanks, Will. I'm so happy to be here. And I was happy to spend time with you about a month ago walking around the properties. It was certainly a pleasure having you at our hotels.
Yeah. And one of the things that's really astounding that you have there, the owners have been around Disneyland from the very beginning, right?
Almost from the beginning. Our owner migrated from Europe here and started out in the poultry industry in L.A. And then he heard about this new park that was opening in the Anaheim area called Disneyland. It was about 4 years after they opened that he got some information on a hotel that was for sale across the street from Disneyland, and that's where the magic, as we put it, started in 1959 for him, even though that Disneyland started in 55.
And now the hotel is being run now by the children of the original owner, right?
Yes, we have the three children right now, or grown adults as they are now, running the property of two brothers and a sister. And the next generation is coming up. They've all graduated from college. Some of them have decided to go outside the business, and a couple of them are staying inside the business, and hopefully will take us to the next level.
So tell us what you're seeing about Disneyland right now. Is the traffic continuing to be as large as it has been? Is it getting larger, smaller?
The crowds are certainly getting bigger. Of course, we have the new excitement coming sometime at the end of the year with Star Wars Land opening, and we expect that to be even drive larger crowds here in Anaheim. We're very excited about that. I know that the city's working on traffic solutions every day. We're involved with the city council and the planning commission and helping them come up with a good plan for the future.
And so you're not just a hotel, you're also a big participant in the life of the city and how the city itself adjusts to this enormous flow of people.
Yes, we do have a lot of ties with the city and different groups that we belong to within the city to help the city run and help to help out the city in what they do and bring good suggestions that benefit all.
Well, so tell me, in running these, well, you had one hotel. Where did you get the second one?
In 1986, we purchased the second hotel, which we tore down and rebuilt as the Camelot Hotel, and are getting ready to go into a big renovation of the Camelot this year. And we've been running it since 1986, yes.
Now, what is it that you have to do as a hotel owner? What is the ongoing tasks that you have?
Well, definitely the keeping the employees happy is our number one task, so the employees will keep the guests happy. Ongoing task is maintaining the rooms in the hotel, updating our systems and procedures constantly, and meanwhile working with the guests to get all this stuff done.
So is finding qualified employees a difficult problem?
It is very difficult at this time. There's definitely an employee shortage in the room attendant field, and even to get work done at the hotel, from plumbers to electricians, it's definitely not as easy as it used to be to find those people to be outside vendors or inside employees of ours, and finding the right people are hard as well.
So this is not the first time I've heard this from people, that 4, 5, 6% unemployment rate means that it's very difficult to fill those lower tier jobs especially.
Correct. We see that with the higher wages these days, wages going up, benefits also going up in cost, workers' comp going up in cost. So it's a ripple effect with having to find these employees, and cost just going up, and attracting new employees is costing us a lot more than it did 2, 3, 5 years ago.
And so one of the things that I've been impressed with the work that you and the leadership team at the Tropicana and the Camelot are doing is, and this came to me from Kathy Copeland at Goodwill, when she said that you had done such a great job in working with people from Goodwill. So tell me about that.
I was introduced to Goodwill about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, and was introduced in the fact that we can provide workers for you at your hotel. And I thought the Goodwill workers worked at Goodwill. I didn't know that they had programs outside of the donation centers themselves. So they told me immediately that they had people that wanted to work at our hotel. And it took a minute for me to realize that we could use these workers. And then it was when I stopped and think, well, here's our problem solution is with these workers. But then all of a sudden I started thinking of all the negatives about having these workers.
Like
workers' comp, what if they get hurt? They may not be able to get around, and what if they fall at the property? How are they going to get along with the other workers? How are they going to integrate with our workers? And are we going to have to spend a lot of time with them and help them out? And is it really going to be cost-effective for us to have them here at the hotel?
All right, so Goodwill workers would be people who have some sort of impairment.
Correct.
Right.
And we actually call them participants, Will.
Participants.
Yeah.
All right. And so these participants would have some sort of impairment, could be mental.
Yes, it could
be physical.
Physical, yes. Uh-huh. Could be that they don't read. It could be that they don't write. Those participants that can't read or write, they're physically able to do the job. We just have to help them to write their times when they clock in and when they leave. We support them in that way. So, we're not there helping them pick up trash off the ground, but we are there to help them to sign in and out. And really, how much time does that take?
Hmm. All right. So when you were initially given the opportunity to hire these participants to come in and help out with the jobs that would be appropriate to them, how did you deal with those, I'm going to call them resistances, those like the workers' comp issue, are they going to be able to get it? How did you deal with all of that?
Well, first, of course, it was a collaboration with Goodwill. They provide all of that for you. So basically, it's a wage, and some of their wages are subsidized by the state of California. So depending on their disability, can mean almost that the employee is almost free to work for you, maybe a couple dollars an hour. And then on top of that, they're providing all of the workers' comp and all of those other benefits to those employees, as well as coaches that are on property to help them, help the participants to complete their task and to teach them how to do their task and to integrate in with our staff.
They actually have coaches on premise.
On-premise.
To help people do the jobs that you want them to do.
Correct. And depending on their level of disability, these coaches could be with them the whole time that they're there and never leave them their side, and they're not actually allowed to leave their side. So depending on their disability, there's others that are much more able and can be left alone.
So with all the support that Goodwill brings, what did you find about the quality of work?
Amazing. It's just, I can't even say enough how happy these employees, participants are for having a job, for being at the hotel. We have many employees that are miserable coming to work. Not that we don't try to do our best to figure out how to solve that issue with them, but some people are just miserable these days. I haven't met one participant in the Goodwill family that is not happy to be at our hotel. They bring such a joy. In fact, they are so happy that their happiness is spreading to some of our employees that aren't so happy.
Oh, really?
It's been really great. It's been a real pickup for myself, for the owners of the hotel, and our fellow team members.
So what could begin as being a good Boy Scout doing a good thing turns into something that is bringing benefit to the business.
I call this, when I sit in our Tuesday meetings with the owners, a win-win-win-win situation. And we feel like we've won in so many different ways, and it's just been amazing.
Now, frankly, what are the downsides?
Well, I would love to tell you some of the downsides. There are times that the participant just doesn't work out at our property. And we work hand in hand with the Goodwill senior executives that if somebody just isn't working out, it's just not the right spot, then we just trade them out. Sometimes a coach doesn't mesh with our team as well. And we just work with them and say, you know what, these are the things that we need to change. Let's try to help them out first and see if they can change. And if it's not changing, it just isn't a good spot. And that's okay with Goodwill because they'll find a spot that it works for them, for the participant or the coach. So that's why I love talking about it, because it's not a big deal. If it doesn't work, we'll find somebody that it does work.
Not like firing an employee.
No, in fact, you fire an employee these days and you can almost guarantee some kind of lawsuit against you, with the fair housing and discrimination lawsuits. This, it's just if it doesn't work out, they'll find somewhere else to put them. No harm, no foul.
So talk a little bit about the quality of work. So give us an example, some stories about what are people actually doing at the hotel.
Great story is, first I'd like to tell you that this has been such a great experience for us that we've actually taken some of the participants off of Goodwill, and we've hired them onto our payroll directly. And they have proven to be such great employees, participants, now employees, that we've been able to hire them onto our staff. And these participants collect laundry from the rooms, the dirty laundry, bring it down, separate it in our laundry room. And then as well as they clean the rooms, they clean the showers, they make the beds, they do everything a normal employee would do. There's really no difference between what they do in a normal employee.
And you don't even have to have a manager.
And what is normal? Sorry.
Well, but right. You don't even have to have a manager to supervise them.
No, because they have coaches.
Yeah.
And you know what? After a while, they're into repetitiveness. So if you get them into their routine, they're going to do the same thing every day. And after a while, they don't even need their coaches. They just go off and do what they know normally do in their routine.
In my experience with in talking with people like yourself who've been participating in the Goodwill program for hiring participants, is that these participants are so delighted that they have an opportunity to have a purpose, to have a job.
Absolutely. I think one of the biggest things that we hear out there, and I'm sure you hear it too, Will, is if they didn't have this job, they would be sitting at home watching TV and not being productive in life. And they bring so much to the table. And to think that they'd otherwise be sitting at home is just a shame.
Yeah, and on the one hand, we could be spending time talking about how good these people are and what a big need there is for business owners to hire them because it's a good thing socially. At the same time, what I've discovered in talking to people is there are tremendous benefits to the business, to the bottom line of the business.
Absolutely. And it just, again, it's back to that win-win-win situation is, you know, they add that value to the bottom line. Many times we get really busy at the hotel in our peak periods of the year, summer, and we have our normal staff calling in sick. And I can call up Goodwill and say, you know what, we just had three of our staff members call out sick. Is there anything you can do to help me out? A lot of times they're there with more participants ready to hop in there and help us out in a pinch where maybe I would have to stop my job to go help clean rooms, and now I can continue with my job, and we can have participants cleaning rooms or bringing down laundry, making it easy for everybody.
So how many participants do you have now at Tropicana and Camelot?
I believe we have close to 20. Close to 20. We started out with 3, and it just grew and grew from there.
And how many total employees do you have?
100 total employees in our team.
All right. So without using names, could you tell us some stories about people?
Okay. I remember 2 Christmases ago, there's one gentleman that works for us, a participant, that really wanted a name tag. He really wanted to be part of our team. And I like to joke around with them a lot. And he kept coming to me and saying, can I get my name tag now? Can I get my name tag now? And I would say, well, you need to go talk to Human Resources because they're the ones that order the name tags. And he would come back to me and say to me, the Human Resources says that I have to come talk to you because you're the one with the money. And so I would say, yeah, I'm the one with the money, but they're the ones that order them, so you have to go back. Well, this kept on going on for about 3 or 4 weeks, and Christmas was coming up. And I spoke to my owners, and we identified 2 participants that we thought were doing really well and that we wanted to hire on directly with our team. And at the Christmas party, we ordered the name tags. And not only did we order the name tags, but we ordered uniforms too. So in front of the entire 100 person team, I called up the 2 participants and asked them to come up. They had no idea what was going to happen, but we had name tags and uniforms wrapped in a gift box for them. And I told them, I explained to the entire staff how we were pleased with their work and what a great job they've done, and that we wanted to hire them on to our team as a full-time team member. And and they opened their gift boxes, and to see the participants' faces when they opened and they saw the name tags, especially the one, he just went crazy, and he was so excited. And the entire staff were all up on their feet clapping. It just brought so much joy.
Yeah. In a real sense, doing something nice like that, it's not just for the one person. It's for the whole organization.
Correct. And back to my win-win-win, Will.
Yeah, yeah. What a tremendous excitement about that. Well, we want to take a break right now, but when we come back, I want to dig into what do you think the resistances are from other business owners? Because there are many people out there who are as good or better than the people, the participants that you have, who are looking, waiting. Goodwill is looking, and they're waiting for that opportunity.
Sounds great.
Good.
Look forward to it.
So we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Imagine what it would feel like to lose everything. Your job, your home, your family, your dignity. This has happened to thousands of the men, women, veterans, and young adults we serve at Working Wardrobes. What do we do to help? We provide career development services, life skills workshops, job skills training. We provide the perfect interview outfit, and we get clients placed in jobs. Call Working Wardrobes, 714-210-2460. Donate, volunteer, invest. Higher.
I'm on the observation deck of the Empire State Building to demonstrate how much material Waste Management recycles. As North America's largest residential recycler, last year alone, Waste Management recycled 12.9 million tons. How much is that? Let's do the math. Carry the six. It's enough to fill this building more than 27 times. With experience like that, we're bound to have a program that can help your business recycle. Talk to Waste Management or visit thinkgreen.com.
Do you want a free analysis of your inbound marketing? Do you want it in 30 seconds or less? Then check out Marketing Grader, the free marketing tool from HubSpot. It's simple. Just go to marketinggrader.com, enter the URL that you want to analyze, and Marketing Grader will instantly give you a detailed report grading your lead generation, mobile marketing, social media, competitive benchmarking, and more. It's simple, it's powerful, and it's free. MarketingGrader.com.
So, welcome back to the Pilgrim on the 405, where we've been talking to the leadership team from Tropicana and Camelot. And Greg's been speaking for the leadership team here. And so, Greg, tell me some more stories about, I think the name came up about somebody who was a real hugger. So tell me about...
Yes, Jose works at the Camelot Hotel. Jose has Down syndrome, and he likes his certain people. He has his favorites at the hotel, and when I come in the morning, he's just hugging, and he's a hard worker, but you can't really walk by him without hugging. Now, I'm not really his favorite. I don't really get the hugs because I'm always on him about making sure he gets to work. Sometimes he likes to party at night with his dad, and he'll forget that he has to work the next day, but that's not a problem. But I always remind him that if he's going to go out partying, he's got to be at work. But he's just an outgoing guy. I think if you saw him at the bar, he would be the life of the bar, and he's certainly the life at our hotel. And he's one of the ones that have just really picking up the attitudes of our team members that are ongoing, that have been with us years at the hotel.
One of my experiences, my wife is a faculty member at Cal Baptist University, and she's got her doctorate in special education. And so in the 41 years we've been married, I have had a lot of experience with children and adults who are special ed people. And it's been my experience almost universally that Down syndrome people are so happy.
It's amazing, aren't they?
And it's an infectious happy.
You know, and when you think about it, all the things in our life that get us down and things that we can't accomplish, or when we get down about something, and you look at these individuals and you say, well, there's no way I can be down, and I mean, look at what they have going on in their life, and it compares nothing to what goes on in our life. So they, you can't help but have a great attitude with being around them. And Will, just you mentioned about your wife at Cal Baptist. My father has also been in the special education field, being a principal of a private school for kids with learning disabilities for over 50 years. And so I've been brought up in that type of environment as well.
Well, I was just thinking maybe we should have a movement to rename from Down syndrome to Ups syndrome.
That would be great, for sure, for sure.
Because it's just impossible to be in a relationship with a Down syndrome person or child and not just come away feeling happy.
And can you imagine being a parent of, those, of all the struggles you might have, but how rewarding and to wake up to see somebody happy every day to see you. So.
Yeah. All right. So now, one of the things that I'm curious about is when you had the first three participants, was there a sense of limitation that they could only do certain things?
Yeah, our first three were more on the moderate to severe on the spectrum of disabilities. So they have three of them that have a coach, and that coach really needs to be with them and showing them. And they don't remember the repetitiveness is there with them, but not so much. They have to be reminded constantly of what they need to do next. So they're staying by waiting for their next task. So that was a little different for us to see a participant or team member standing there waiting. So we had to work with that a little bit. It was a little unsettling to see that happening.
Mm-hmm. And did your sense of the possibilities for participants expand as you had more people come?
Absolutely. As we saw what they could do and concentrated not on what they couldn't do, I think you keep bringing up what are the negatives, which I appreciate. But I think if you're going to get into a program like this, you have to look for the positives. And if you look for the negatives in what they can't do, that's going to really hinder you. If you can look for what they can do and work with that, I think anybody with disabilities, you look at what they can do and not what they can't do. And I don't know, Will, I'm going to bring this up now, and I know you're interviewing me, but maybe I'll interview you a little bit. I know that you have a participant that works for you, and maybe you could share a little bit about what you think in that area.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was a gift to me when we knew Eric Basilian.
Yes.
So when Eric, I got to know Eric at Santa Ana Chamber when I was speaking. We got to know each other, and I mentioned to him, I told him what I did, he told me what he did, and I said, you know, I'm a good Boy Scout. To myself, I'm a good Boy Scout. I can help out. I always have things that can be done. So Eric, sure, I'll be happy to, you know, see if there's something that if you have somebody that you want to place. So look. So a month later, he calls up and says, look, I have a woman. She has a master's degree in marriage and family counseling. She's in a wheelchair.
A master's degree?
A master's degree in marriage and family counseling.
Wow.
She is in a wheelchair, electric wheelchair. She has full-time nursing. She has muscular dystrophy and can only move two fingers on her left hand.
Well, what could she do for you?
That's exactly what I thought. Oh, my God. What? It was this... but of course, my good Boy Scout came out and said, well, sure, let's see what happens. So the first time that Jen rolled in with her entourage, it was like, what am I getting into?
Were you scared?
Well, I don't know, scared, but I was at a loss for sure. And I said, well, here are the things that I need to have done. I mean, I've never had an assistant before. I've always done it myself. And I said, so let's try it. And I said, you know, you can work from home. We can make this virtual if you want. And she said, oh, no. Oh, no. I've had enough Netflix. I want to come to work. So in she comes every day at 10:30, and she's there until 2. And so the first couple of months, I said, well, Jen, do this, Jen, do that. Well, with those two fingers and a computer, she can do marvelous things. And she began to write emails for me. She began to order things for me. She began to decorate the office. And you know, I was looking at this, and I said, Jen, you know, I really like your attitude. I would love to be able to. Now, she was on, I said it was a gift, because she was on, she had an internship for a year. The state or some program paid for her to be there.
So it didn't cost you a dime.
It didn't cost me a dime. And so I said, Jen, you know, I'd really like to hire you after the year is over. So let's talk about what are your limitations? Mm-hmm. And I said, and maybe we can make the job fit your limitations. And she said, okay. I said, well, would you spend some time next weekend and make a list of your limitations, and we talk about it? So the next week she came back, and we sat down. On Tuesday, we had a meeting, and I said, so did you do it? She said, I did exactly what you asked me. I spent 3 hours looking at trying to make a list of my limitations. I said, good. What did you find? She said, I don't have any.
And she's in a wheelchair?
She's in a wheelchair.
Only uses two fingers?
Only two fingers. She's got a breathing apparatus, right? She'd been muscular dystrophy for all of her 46 years.
Well.
And I said, Jen, come on. Be serious here. You have no. She said, I have no limitations. I said, okay. You see that box over there? Now, this was a box that was about 6 feet long, 3-4 feet square. And I said, that box is filled with 75 three-ring binders that are all wrapped up in bubble wrap. And you see that empty spot over there in the wall? That's where a bookshelf needs to go to put these binders on. So show me that you have no limitations. She said, okay.
What?
Well, 3 days later, I came back. The bookshelf had been ordered and assembled. Right?
What?
The binders were on the shelf, and every shelf had a label.
But she can only use two fingers.
And I said, Jen, how did you do that? And she said, people don't understand. For 46 years, my nurses have been my hands and my feet. Anything I need done, they do.
Wow. Amazing story.
And so I said, I give up. You're here.
You're hired.
And she now sets up the session room for my sessions for the companies that come in to work with me. She orders everything. She, in January of last year, I said, Jen, you know, why don't you try taking over my calendar? Now, my calendar's very, you've seen. You know,
yes, it's trying to get this arranged.
Very complicated, and working with business owners and leadership teams, things change all over the place. I was overburdened with trying to make all my calendar work, and I'd inevitably forget things. So I said, why don't you try taking it over? Well, in the first 3 weeks when she took it over, I found that I gained 35% of my time. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. She was delighted to do it, and she was very good at it. And at the end of that, at end of January, I said, Jen, you've done such a great job on my calendar. I mean, I don't, and between you and me, I don't even touch my calendar anymore because I just mess it up. But so she takes care of the calendar. And then I said, so starting in February, would you, and this for me was la-la land, would you take over my email? Now,
wow.
I don't know about you.
Your emails?
But when I open up my email, it would have like 90 brand new emails every time. Mm-hmm. And they were all professionally done, so they were like shiny objects for me. It was like, mm-hmm. look at this, look at that. And I thought I was pretty good at organizing.
Well, I would imagine a graduate student would have those abilities to get through graduate school. You would need the abilities to be able to do that. But you wouldn't think of that.
Well, most people would not even let anybody touch their email. And I said, try it. Well, she came back two days later and said, okay, from now on, there are four categories. One is information, like, newsletters and things that people are telling you about data, and we'll put that in that category, and you can look at it on the weekend if you want to. And she said, then there's finance. Anything that's got to do with your banking or things that you've purchased, they'll go in this category, and you look at them once a week if you want. And she said, then there's updates, things that social media, things like that, that you might want to look at. And she said, but the thing is for Will to complete. And you have to respond to those, because I don't know what the decision is.
Okay.
Well, after that, now, I literally read about 10 emails a day. And everything works. Isn't that amazing?
Look at how much time she's saving you, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Just amazing. And here is this very valuable addition to my business sitting there. And do you know that she went on 78 job interviews and no one made an offer?
How lucky are you?
Whoa!
What a score.
Absolutely.
So it goes back to what I said, Will. If you find what they're good at and not what their limitations are,
right,
it's really the world's ahead of you there,
right,
in front of your face. So
absolutely.
With them.
That's right. And so what would you and the leadership team at Tropicana and Camelot say to business owners who've never thought about this before?
Think about it. Win, win, win. That's all I have to say is win, win, win. So it's been an amazing ride. We hope down the road that we just continue to grow our company and we can continue to grow having more participants with us. And I just hope it never stops.
Yeah.
And I say for anybody out there that's listening that could be in a situation to accept Goodwill, just try it once. I'm sure Goodwill would place somebody at your business. And if it didn't work out, no harm, no foul. It wouldn't cost you a penny to start, just like you say, Will. You had a year grant, and it didn't cost you a dime to figure out and if it worked.
Right.
And I'm sure if you had more positions, you would find work for them to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what I have talked with people who have people from Goodwill in restaurants wrapping the silverware every morning, because that has to be wrapped every morning.
Yes.
And people come in before the meals start and wrap all of that. I have interviewed people who work in a documentation business where they will take documents and move them into digital files, and they have three or four people that are working with them right now doing repetitive tasks, and they do such a good job.
Yeah, industry, packing boxes, making boxes, it's just limitless what you could have them do. If you could think of something that you could have them do, there's probably a participant out there that's for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's been a very interesting route, because when I talked to the Kathy Copeland, who is the vice president in charge of this program, what she said was that very often the limitation is not the quality or the qualifications of the participants. It's the anxiety or the concern, sometimes fear, that a business owner has about taking on this responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of what she and I talked about was, how do we help business owners talk with, and hear from business owners who've had been very successful and had very good stories about this relationship with participants?
You know, well, we hire people every day to do jobs, tasks in the hotel. We never know who we're hiring until they're in the position. We talk with people, we interview them, but you never know what you're getting. And once you've hired that person, you've pretty much bought it these days in the way that California is running. And it's hard to get rid of somebody if it doesn't work out. So, like we talked about earlier, with this, if it doesn't work out, you just make a change. And there's no harm, no foul. I keep going back to that. But, you know, if you just keep an open mind and just try it, you'll find that it really works. And you know what? If it doesn't, that's okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. So before we leave, tell us a little bit about why people, when they have guests coming in from outside of the area to go to Disneyland, should come to Tropicana or Camelot.
Well, we have the happiest staff, the most friendly staff. And one of the reasons is because of our participants. We have clean rooms, and we take a lot of pride in our family-run business. And if you want to come see the participants here at the hotel and say hello to them and engage with them, they would love to see you at the hotel.
Great. Well, thanks a lot for being with us, Greg, and thanks to the whole leadership team.
Thank you, Will, and thanks for being such a great advocate for these participants.
Good. Well, it's been a wonderful experience with the Pilgrim on the 405 and the leadership team from the Tropicana and the Camelot right across the street from Disneyland, who have had such a great experience with participants from Goodwill, not only filling in, but actually becoming, in some cases, employees.
Yes.
So thanks a lot for being with us, Greg. This is another experience with the Pilgrim on the 405, talk about how businesses in California thrive.
You've been listening to the Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist.